The album Divididos por la Felicidad by Sumo is Argentinian post-punk new wave. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Out of Phase, presented by Portland State Production Services.
Ooh.
Same new name, same bullshit, which I think needs to go on our like work shirts now.
Oh, that should. That would be the best.
Wouldn't that
catch
be fantastic? Yeah. Today, I obviously am your host, Drew Havner, and today I'm joined by two friends of mine, two good coworkers, Ashley Plasek and Storm Garrison. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
We totally weren't talking before this, so hi. No. We weren't having a conversation.
No, not at all. How is everybody?
It's so natural. So today we're talking about kind of a deep cut and out of my purview for certain. We're talking about a band called Sumo, and mostly talking about one of their albums called Divididos por la Felicidad. Hand yep. check real quick. I do not speak Spanish. Do either of you speak Spanish at all?
I am not fluent, but I like
can read
I would
words.
Say I'm like an intermediate
okay.
Spanish.
I'm not that advanced. I took half a year of it in middle school, and like I've been around people who do speak it though,
okay.
like quite a bit. So I don't understand it at a high level, but there's lots. I mean, it's close to English too, so there's lots of words
there's
and
a lot
like
of
context clues I can
like
kind
that.
Of
mm-hmm.
understand.
Okay,
things.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there that like I do not speak Spanish, and I do not know how to pronounce I do not know how to pronounce Spanish aside from just like being around Spanish speaking people growing up in Oregon. I could, but I'm not going to because I think that a white person who doesn't speak their Spanish speaks Spanish.
No.
Is pretty fucking bad.
That's not.
Can
you roll your R's?
Yeah, I know.
That's what I was trying to ask.
I know. I fucking understood.
Oh, I thought you understood.
But I will not be doing it in this episode. I can also pronounce.
It's so fun,
if we were talking about an album where all the song titles were in French, we would be good because I can speak enough French that I would be fine. But I do not speak French. So
I had a friend who was self-admitted Mexican and could not. Well, he self-admitted that he could not roll his R's.
It's like,
and
why
then,
is
no.
he self-admitted?
No.
That he's
self-admitted.
Like
no, I phrased that weird. But yeah, he's Mexican, and he told us he couldn't roll his R's.
Amazing. Okay. Well, yeah, that's just my way of saying that, like, I probably will pronounce things incorrectly because it's not a language that I speak. But one of the things that I think is really interesting about this album is the fact that majority of it is in English. So... Mm-hmm. This was not a pick of mine or Storm's. This is something that Ashley came across. So I'm wondering, Ash, if you could tell us about the band, how you came across it, because it's really interesting and, like, all of that. Just give us some background, some context.
Yeah, I'll give you the deets. So basically, a couple months ago, I was kind of like, I should get back into Spanish. And I started taking lessons with this lady from Argentina. And she was, like, talking to me and... we were talking about music, and she's like, yeah, I used to have a partner who was in this band called Sumo, and I didn't really think much of it at the time. I was like, I don't know who that is at all, but then I was like, okay, I'll pop it into Spotify, and I'm like, okay, they're pretty big, like, they have millions of plays, mm-hmm. and, like, they probably have some sort of thing that I should check out, so then I did, and I come to find that they're pretty, like, well-known and instrumental in shaping contemporary rock in Argentina, and the interesting part is that, like, the lead singer, Luca Prodan, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he's from Italy and basically moved to Argentina at some point and is credited with bringing a lot of, like, reggae and post-punk to Argentina, especially at this time where, like, they were... going through wars and had like a really repressive dictator, and so a lot of the teenagers there were like trying to figure out, you know, what was music gonna look like in this new era and moving out of like psychedelia and all of that. So I don't know. I just thought it was a really interesting story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you told this to me and you were like, hey, I think this might be a cool episode of a podcast, I was like, that sounds fucking fascinating. For the audience's reference, also, this album is from 1985, and most of their work is from... Their discography spans 1985 to 1991, so 6 years. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious what the two of you would... I know that genre is kind of like a useless concept nowadays, especially where radio doesn't really dominate, so you don't have to be, like, grouped as much. But, like, if you were to assign this a genre or a couple of genres, I'm wondering what you guys would put it in. Because I think it's fascinating.
It's weird. It's like a mix. It's like post-punk meets reggae meets alternative rock. Uh-huh. And, like... The thing about it is, I think at the time, it probably, like, it wasn't marketed very widely to, like, the U.S. or England or anything. It was mainly made just for, like, the youth of Argentina, mm-hmm. so I don't know if it would, like, fall into the same genre categories as some other...
Yeah, and that's worth considering, music. Certainly, that, like, genre is different in different cultures, but I feel that this takes a lot of influence from Western music, like American mm-hmm. and European music. So, like,
definitely.
In addition to Caribbean and African music. What about you, Storm?
I would say it's like, I mean, like you too, it's hard to really paste one mm-hmm. genre. I would almost call it, if I had to, because I still think genre is important.
Right.
For the same way that, like, genre for books is. Like, it's like, totally. It gives you a general idea of what you might expect, and mm-hmm. then you go from there. But, like you're saying, it's definitely way more fluid than it used to be. And I would say, like, for my personal, because I don't always agree with everybody on genre, I would say this is, like, experimental, like, pop. But, like, not pop, like, pop, but, like, an experimental pastiche of different popular forms of music.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
It's really cool. I like it.
I was listening to this on my way to work to my other job today, and I'm sitting there in the car listening to, because each track sounds like a very different genre, mm-hmm. in my opinion, and I was like, okay, so some of these feel really new wave, some of these feel really reggae, some of these feel really like punk or post-punk, and I was like, is this ska? Like, would this technically be ska? And then I was like, no, it's not ska. Mm-hmm. It is all of the things that you would describe ska as, which is, like, post-punk, but also reggae, but it's not ska. It's super strange in that way.
If it were ska, it'd be the first ska album I listened to and was like, yeah, I want to listen to this again. Yeah, so I would say it's definitely not ska, because I'm not into ska.
I think it's very funny that us as a group all kind of don't like ska.
It's whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I understand. There's some ska that's good. It's fun. So, like, ska, I think ska is the kind of thing where, like,
sometimes
at, like, a concert or, like, an event or something, like, I would really get into it, but it's just not something I want to, like, listen to purpose, so, you know? Yeah.
So then... Okay, so here's the reason why I think that we're, like, okay. The reason I think that we're, like, floundering on the question, what genre is this, right? Because obviously it's a fusion. It's a style. It's, like, a fusion style of music. And, like Ash said, it's post-punk.
Pop.
I would also say that it is new wave. Like,
you got it.
Post-punk and new wave are, like, sort of the same and sort of different.
You just kind of half-coined it. It's pop fusion.
It's pop fusion. I would say I wouldn't use the term pop. I understand why you did, and I
can't think of a better term to describe lots of genres.
I think that it is new wave reggae fusion.
Okay, but there's still post-punk in there, which is totally different than those other.
New wave and post-punk are, like, kind of interchangeable in some ways. Like, if you're talking about, like, the B-52's new wave, like, no, that's a very distinct genre. But if you're talking about, like, The Cure or Talking Heads, like, that's still falls within the purview of post-punk and punk a lot of the time, because some new wave artists that are that type of new wave still consider themselves punk artists. Like, it's this weird. Anyway.
That sounds... Yeah. That's fair.
Sorry. Would Joy Division, like, fall into that category?
I think
because
Joy Division is, like, that line between new wave and post-punk.
Right. And, like, the album title is Divididos por la Felicidad, which is, like, divided by happiness, mm-hmm. which is...
Sounds like a fucking...
They're making a nod to Joy Division, right, basically, because they were influenced by them.
So. Yes. So, okay, this is my next question, actually. What influences did you hear in here? Because I heard two very specific ones. I'm wondering if anyone else picked up on
it. I was going to touch on that, whether nobody else brought it up. Uh-huh. So I'll just start. And in... what's the name of the song? I just was listening to it. I think it... Oh, in... It's not on the album, but it's one of the other ones you asked us to listen to, Ash. Yeah. Esteando desde el Oceano. That one, I was listening to, and I was like, I feel like I'm listening to Rebel Yell by Billy Idol, but, ooh, like, yeah, done differently, uh-huh, and yeah. I don't mean that as a knock, because I really like that song, and it wasn't, right, like, that a copy, but I sense. Got very much influences from
I
that.
Had the same experience. These are not the two bands that I was thinking of when I was thinking that, like, the big influences for these two, but when I was listening to the song Heroína, I was like, this sounds so much like the Velvet Underground. And it doesn't help that it sounds like the Velvet Underground song Heroin. And it's like, yeah, about heroin.
I,
right.
But
I, like, sorry, I just couldn't, that song, I knew, like, every time I listened to it, like, right before this meeting, too, I was like, this reminds me of something, but I couldn't place what it is. So it's Velvet Underground?
Yeah. So part of it was, I think I went in being like, oh, yeah, this song is, I imagine Heroína is heroin in Spanish. I guess I don't know. Well, yeah. No, I do, because he sings in English the word heroin.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
assume, I guess I don't know, I guess I personally wouldn't have known if it was heroin with an E or without an E. Like, you know, the drug or the female hero, whatever. I assume it's the drug. It is a punk band, so. I think that I went in listening to that a little biased, because I was like, oh, it's similar to this song. But I think that, and I want to get into this after, I want to hear what Ash's influence comments are, but the lead singer does a really interesting thing with voices and accents throughout their music, and I want to get into that. Mm, but anyway, yeah, I want to know.
I noticed that too.
Yes, Ash, what influences do you feel are like evident in this?
I think like you
touched
saying,
on Joy Division.
Yeah, Joy Division is a big one. Mm-hmm. With his like his vocals, he puts a lot of like reverb in it, and just like the style that he's mm-hmm. delivering it in is very similar. That maybe like Morrissey, and I don't know if this song came out after this album, but do you know that song by Primus, Jerry Was a Race Car Driver?
No.
It's okay. Been a long time since I heard it, but
I know what I mean.
Primus is hilarious, yeah.
But I just heard, like, I don't know, really similar sounds in mm-hmm. the first song on this album, too. So, I don't know. It comes from a lot of different things. But then there's also the fact that, like, I don't know, Kaya, the last song is all about weed, and, like, he basically, like, the accent thing, he starts talking like he's Jamaican, so... Okay.
I really want to get into this. I have one last band that I think that they draw a ton of influence from. And it's so strange to me. Who?
The Wailers? Bob Marley and the Wailers?
No.
If they're doing reggae, they're drawing inspiration from Bob,
yes,
though.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, reggae broadly.
It's a moot point,
but
yeah.
This specific type of new wave reggae is what the Police are all about. And the one that stood out to me the most, because... Hmm. I guess this isn't a necessarily correct assumption, but I assume because, like, a lot of Argentinian people are white, like, white Spanish speakers, that these people were white. That is maybe an assumption I should not have made, but I associate, like, white new wave reggae with the Police specifically. So, like, that's what I got. I think it's really interesting that all of those definitely are present in this music, and all of those are incredibly diverse. Like, that is a really wide swath of the musical spectrum. Okay. I know we all really want to talk about this now. What the fuck? Why? Okay, I'm going to describe the thing that I think Ashley and I are thinking. Correct me if this isn't what you're thinking.
Okay.
The lead singer is clearly an English-speaking person. You said that they were Italian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't have known that. I would have assumed that they were Argentinian, but not because of the music. Just context-wise, I would have assumed they were Argentinian. Because... lead singer like does accents right. in the music to fit the genre of the song. So there's a really, really new wave sounding song. It's like almost kind of Talking Heads, like really new wave. And he does like a British accent during the song.
I think it was
and
called,
it's very baffling to me. And then the other one that got me was Kaya, where he is doing like a Caribbean accent. And the man is not Caribbean. Like,
yeah.
So it was like, oh, that's kind of fucking weird. I don't know how I feel about that. So I want to know how you two feel about it.
Yeah, there's... I was, like, researching this, and there's some controversy over that, just because it's, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Should you really be a white Italian doing that? And so maybe some of these things are, like, outdated, right? Because, like... Or maybe they weren't even good at that point. But, I mean, one of the songs... Yeah. Well, one of the songs, too, is, like, the first one is all about, like, the dumb blonde. So, like, obviously there's some... Mm-hmm. Maybe some sexism in there, too. Whatever. So, yeah. I don't know.
Did you notice that, Storm?
I definitely noticed the like, different accents and stuff. But I thought it was neat just because I like vocalists that have, like... That demonstrate not only necessarily range and pitch, but just ability to incorporate different vocal stylings mm-hmm. into there. Like, that's something I really key into when I'm listening to a band, and if their vocalist can do that kind of stuff. I mean, maybe it's just a combination of things, but when I'm listening to stuff like that, that's... I don't know. That's not usually my first thought. Like, sure. Like you guys bring it up. I didn't think about it till right now, really. Yeah. I could see it being outdated or being like... But... Without knowing the people and, like, just guessing from the overall feel of the music, I think it was done in fun, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate if they said something that was wrong or whatever, but I doubt their intent was to hurt anybody's feelings. I think, you know, so I think it's just better to show a little, like, humility in the face of humor.
No, don't get me wrong. I don't think that's what that's not what I'm saying. I don't think that's what I'm just saying either. It's just...
No. He does, like, a lot of very ironic things. And I think if you, like, watch his live performance, that is his style, too. Just being kind of, like, this goofball kind of dude.
Yeah, it seemed like it was, like, very flamboyant, like, over the top. One of the things that is really funny, because I didn't think about it in the song where he puts on a British accent. I didn't, like, question it. And then he did it with the, like, Caribbean accent, and I was like, oh, wait, hold on. He did that in a different song, too. What the fuck? Why are you doing that? Why is that your thing? But it totally, I mean, like, doing the British accent, like, fucking whatever. I don't think there is an ethical question about that. Like, it's a fucking British accent. When you as a nation colonize the entire planet, we're going to make fun of you a little bit.
Plus, he lived there for a little, like, he lived in London, so, like, maybe he has a little accent.
Probably not, but, you know, there's a justification, right? Yeah. I think it's just, like, doing a Caribbean accent is a little bit, like, okay, maybe that's a little bit weird. But especially because that's the one that stood out to me, is I was like, oh, this is, like, a reggae song. This is just a straight-up reggae song, and he's doing the, like, reggae voice, that, like, trans-Caribbean accent that's, like, vaguely Jamaican, that kind of... Anyway, but it does, like, judgment aside... fit the songs that it's done in very well, and to the point where, like, if you're not listening critically, even if you are, like, you might not even think about it. Like, I didn't think about it, and I was listening critically until I got to the last song on the album. It's just a very strange little style thing that I don't think I've ever really heard other bands, like, put on another, like, I've heard other bands, especially in the punk and post-punk genre, like, play up, but just, like, lean into an accent. Like, there's a lot of really British punk that comes out of, like, lower class London, so, like, very thick lower class British accents, but it's not like they're doing that accent, right? Like, unless I guess I could be unfamiliar, maybe there is some, like, if the Sex Pistols did that, I wouldn't be shocked, but fuck the Sex Pistols. I'm curious as to what your favorite songs were on the album, because this is something that I always like to talk about. I know mine, and I feel very strongly about mine, because it was beautiful.
Chef's Kiss.
It's just, it was an auditory chef's kiss, but I really, really enjoyed one of the songs on this album, but I want to know what... I mean, I really enjoyed actually quite a bit of the album, but I want to know what your guys' thoughts are.
That's a tough
decision. Yeah, you go ahead.
Thanks. I'm just gonna go with the first one that pops in my head, but I don't know if it really is my favorite. But the second song in the album, Mula Plateada, hopefully I'm not totally butchering that. Just it's as simple as that little guitar riff that's, like, in the bottom. In my headphones, it feels more like bottom centered left, and it's like, it's just got such shine on it, and it's so nice. Like, every time I was listening to the song, I just was listening for that specifically, and it's like, It's like a auditory scratch of an itch, you know. Like, I don't know what it is, but I just love the sound of that specific thing. And also, I like the moon, so I like that it sings about the moon. My other favorite song wasn't on the album, though. It was the one I mentioned earlier that reminded me of Billy Idol, the ocean. The ocean one talks about breaking through the ocean or something like that.
Ash, can I take a stab in the dark and say that that one's yours as well, mainly because I see that you're currently listening to it on Spotify?
Am I?
Stalker.
Actually,
my friends on Spotify. No, I...
Just kidding. No, just kidding. My sister shares Spotify with me, so she's listening to it, which is good. I introduced her.
Good.
Anyways, I would actually say Mula Plateada as well is my favorite on this album. I think, like, it's interesting because I was just looking it up. I didn't know what it meant exactly, but it means silver mule, which is like weird because he's singing silver moon in the song, and I just like his vocal style, the lyrics, that guitar thing that you're talking about. It's like very rhythmic and weird and fun. So that one's my favorite.
I have two. I know that I said give me your favorite, but I'm gonna break my own rule.
I mean, I mentioned
you did, so you did too. Well, I'm glad that this is like equitable here.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to pick another one, Ash?
Yeah, I'll go ahead, yeah. Heroin, yeah, that one's good. That one's really good.
So, yeah, not, like, in terms of, like, the song that I enjoyed the most and I, like, genuinely thought was, like, really good and I really like the styling of, Heroina was also one of my, like, that one for me. Like, I really like it. I really like the, like, affectation in his voice that is, like, mimicking kind of I don't know if it's deliberately trying to mimic Lou Reed. Like, I don't know if it's supposed to be, like, a response to heroin. I don't know. Like, it doesn't talk about a lot of the same stuff except for the heroin part. But it feels very similar in that style, and I really like that, like, really old 70s style of like, really, really, like, the beginning of, like, alternative music. Except that Lou Reed's kind of an asshole, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's, like, a total piece of shit.
Oh, really?
I feel like it's probably... I know that he doesn't like Portland. That's the one thing I do know.
Oh, man.
I had a teacher in high school tell me when I was in a English class that was about, like, music analysis. Fucking great class, by the way. And I was doing a project on the Velvet Underground and Nico. And while I was writing about it, my teacher came over and was like, yeah, Lou Reed's a total asshole. I was like, why? He was like, apparently when he came here to do a show in, like, the 80s, he was like, I fucking hate Portland. Your city's gross and horrible. And I was like, okay, fuck Lou Reed, I guess. Super mean for no reason. So I really like that song just because it feels very much of a time that of music that I like. A little bit ironically, but not really, Davide is it's fucking so banger.
That's a great song.
There's a song on this album called Davide, and it is, I would imagine, just about disco dancing, because that's what it seems to be about when I was listening to the lyrics. It is just, like, the most, like, mid to late 80s song. Like, it's, like, that era just, like, in a crystalline form. Like, it's so... It's, like, really drum machine driven with these, like, horns that are present throughout the album. It just whips ass, dude. It just is a good party song. That's basically all I have to say about it.
If I could jump in on that song particularly, so there's a lot of, I was able to pick out Rebel Yell and Billy Idol specifically, because anytime I hear that song on, like, satellite radio and when I'm with somebody who doesn't have, like, an MP3 player or something to use, like, I just listen to it because I like that song.
Such a good song.
Mainly because I just love the way the vocals are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other areas on the album, like songs, where I know I'm hearing the influence, but I'm not exactly sure what the influence is. Because it's something that I've just heard a bunch over the course of my life since growing up, but I never specifically paid attention to that artist or something. But Davide, like, towards the last third of the song or something, and he gets kind of more raspy in his vocals, it super reminds me of something really specific, but not specific enough for me to remember what it is.
Let me see if I can find it. Let me see.
But, like, I can hear the influence from something I've heard before, absolutely. And the way the horns come in, too, after, really hits me. It sounds like something I'm familiar with, but it's, like, racking my brain trying to figure out what it actually is.
I can't figure out what it is. It does feel very like 1985, like the drum machine and the man screaming about disco.
I love the drum machine.
It's so good.
When
it's
it came in, strong. I was like, yes.
Yeah, it's very, very, very prominent. There's a couple songs in the album where it's super prominent, but not as much as David A. I want to talk about the horns in this album, because I largely don't like horns in my rock music.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason that I don't generally enjoy ska.
You don't like horns and rock, dude? You don't know how to rock, bro.
So this is an auditory medium, so that joke was completely lost. Will you, do
it was for you and Ash.
Just for us. Yeah, that's a secret. Yeah. No, it's just the devil horns. Thanks for that. I don't like as in
rock on sign. That's what
brass,
I do.
Brass horns. I meant like instrument horns. I don't tend to like them in rock music. And I was off-put by them a little bit in some parts of this album. Like, there were some songs that I was like, wow, this is, like, really, like, shredding. And then all of a sudden there were horns, and I was like, oh, now it sounds like Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
And I was not here for Dave Matthews. There are other ones, though, that I think it's really good in. Especially the like, more reggae tracks. Like, it fits really nicely. I think that, largely speaking, the horns are like well mixed. They're very interesting. They're very raspy, which is a sonic quality that I don't tend to associate with horns. They're almost mixed in accompaniment for the lead singer's vocals, which are sort of raspy and like Billy Idol in the way that Storm is saying. So I thought that was interesting in listening to it is the way that they were mixed. But there were some times in some songs where I was like.
It was Wish there wasn't horns in there.
It's a little too funky sometimes. I'm like, I would like a rock song. Thank you. You sold me on the concept of a rock song, and now it is a ska song. Cool.
or my now disappointment it's a song. Is immeasurable.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like a personal preference. That's not like, it's not bad because of that. It's just like, that's not how I want this. Like, if you're setting up a rock song, I want you to deliver on that. I don't really want it to become a reggae song or a funk song. That's me, though. I'm not usually super into these like kind of like very deliberate fusion genres, like I guess that's not really true though, because the Clash are kind of that. But do you guys have any things that like stood out to you like that
I didn't like
or that you did? The horns just stood out to me. I thought that they were, I'm not saying I don't like the horns, I'm saying like there were parts where I wish they weren't there, but when they were there and in a good part, like I really liked them.
Right. I didn't think about that. I mean, that makes sense that you don't like horns and rock, mm-hmm. since we already established that, well, none of us really like ska.
Not really a thing.
But I never thought about it, really, while I was listening. So, I don't know if I like horns or not in rock. I know there's a lot of examples where I don't, but this is one where I do. There wasn't any part of the album that I didn't like, really. One thing that really... I'll say this. Okay, so, like, I started, and I listened to the first song, and I was like, okay, this is pretty simplistic, and, you know, sometimes I tend to listen to a lot of stuff that's not, but it just depends, right? And so I was like, this is pretty simplistic, but it's good. Mm-hmm. And then I listened to the second song, and I was like, okay, this guitar, I'm really digging this. And I get to the third song, No Cabes, and I don't remember exactly how that song listens like, but by that time, I was like, all right, I'm just adding this to my library. This is just fun to listen to. Honestly, it's really fun to listen to. What came across is just kind of more simplistic, you know, like in the 80s style. Like a lot of music was more simplistic than just in general. Even like popular music has really gotten more advanced over the years, in my opinion, at least. A lot of it. But it's like done so well. It's like, it's, I would say rather than calling it simplistic, it's like minimal in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I love how spaced out the instruments sound and how, like I love mixes that are full and like everything, but this mix is like the opposite, but in a way that I enjoy. There's like so much air between all the instruments, I feel like, and it's a way that doesn't bother me.
You know where they're drawing that from? Old school new wave. Like Talking wave. Heads and Joy Division.
There was a lot of examples of new wave that I like, but I didn't really know what new wave was.
I'll send you some new wave, because if you think that's
I know
cool,
what it is
if,
now.
If you like that, you will like the Talking Heads.
I do like Talking Heads.
Okay, cool.
I just never exactly listened to a whole album.
Yeah.
I've heard them plenty of times because my mom used to listen to them and such. So, yeah, they're cool, though.
What about you, Ash? What stood out to you?
I was actually gonna echo the horn thing just because, like you, like when it hit, it was good. In Day by Day, I really liked the horns.
Yeah. And, when they introduce it up front and they're like, "This is what you're in for," mm-hmm. I'm like, "Fuck yeah!"
Yeah. And then I also really liked, sometimes he would just do these, like, we were talking about rolling our R's as white people, but, like, I don't know, he did it in, like, a stylistic way where he's doing this sure. long, crazy-ass, like, vocal trill thing that's not yeah. even a word, but, like, it was really fun.
There was a lot of that, actually, yeah. now that you mention that. There's a lot of, like, vocal play in this album mm-hmm. that is just, like, silly and weird and strange, like...
Yeah.
We like there's a lot of vocal play and a lot of popular music in the modern era, but it's usually reserved for like O's and O's and A's and stuff like that, or some consonants. The first song has like a scat breakdown, like at the beginning of the song. Like yeah. there is like also a jazz influence in some of these mm-hmm. ways. Like it's yeah. So yeah, I totally agree with that, Ash.
I think that first line in that song is like ingrained in my brain now. It's like, "Oh mama, ooh papa, ooh mama," so or something good. Like that. It's so fun and weird, and I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, but, yeah. I think that this album, like, it is so dated. Like, it's so fucking dated. Like, it's the most. I listened to it without looking at the date, and I was like, "This is the most like mid '80s music I've ever heard." But it's like not dated in a bad way. Like, it's not like, yeah. "Oh, this feels like not." Like, it feels like. It is very identifiable from a period of time, and I think it's a really good preservation of that period in time, and it's still fucking fun to listen to. Like, I really like music that feels like it's very from a particular era, even if it's not. I just wrote our most recent album of the week on a band called Greta Van Fleet, which, like, if I played you without the context, you would think they were from the 70s, but they're not. They're a modern band. They still release music. They've just started to, in the last, like, 5 years, release music. They're really new. And so I really like, very, like, oh, this feels very much like the mid-80s. One of my favorite songs, as, like, an example of this, is Ants Marching by the Dave Matthews Band, because it's the most, like, early 90s song I can think of. But, yeah, I this is, like, really dated in a way that I don't mean, like, bad.
It's almost like, I didn't think about it till just now, but the way it encapsulates so many mm-hmm. different sounds from the 80s, it's almost like an Argentinian time capsule.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Incorporating so many different aspects of the 80s sounds.
Post-punk and new wave and reggae and a little bit of ska, a little bit of jazz. Like, it's really interesting.
Ash, when we were all talking about that little scat part in the first song, that little scat part, yeah, I guess that sounds kind of odd.
You just paused after the word scat, so you just said little scat.
I know, it just happened. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to.
The little shit.
So, the oom-ow-mow, it reminds me almost of, like, Surfing Bird a little bit, or something else. Like, and then another, since we're talking about the influence, I know I'm backtracking, but who cares? I'm going to do it anyway. What's the word? I don't know. The album name. The Divididos por la Felicidad.
Yeah.
That. The way the guitars are, like, kind of drawn out, this chords are like, do, 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 and then it's almost like they're kind of being stretched a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's another one of those things that I'm hearing something I've heard a lot, definitely. Like, I'm really hearing a strong influence from something I know, but not something I know well enough to name it.
Right.
So I'm curious if you have any ideas as what it could be from.
I have either of you. I have no idea. Are you with me?
It sounds it sounds very. It reminds me of something, and I love the way it sounds.
Here's the best way to put it. This album sounds very familiar, even if you've never listened to it before. Like, it's taking a lot of influence and a lot of things like riffs and styles and like ways of form of vocalizing and things like that from all over the place, from all over the world. Like, I would imagine that this probably has a lot of influence from like Argentinian music. Like, I don't know anything about Argentinian music, but I would guess that it probably, like, some of the stuff that isn't familiar to us would be familiar to someone from Argentina. Like, and also knowing that the frontman is from Italy, like, probably Italy too. Like, there's probably, it's just, it's very like this homogenous, like, there's a lot that is able to be picked out like that. Be like, oh, this sounds like Lou Reed. This sounds like David Byrne. This sounds like Argentinian music. And this sounds like ska. Like, super strange, weird, like, collage. It's a collage. It's a musical collage. Yeah.
To add on that, some, that was one of my main takeaways from the album. Other than just, like, having a good time with it and it being fun music I want to listen to again. And, like, introduce to some people. It, I was really impressed. I believe back when we did this last summer, I remember having a conversation like this about some other album. But, like, one thing I really appreciate when artists do, and I think is this album is a good example of, is when they incorporate lots of different elements from different styles, but they do it well enough that instead of it sounding like how a sample plate at a restaurant looks, right, where it's just very obvious, mm-hmm. like, different appetizers, where it's more like a whole meal, where there's just all these different flavor profiles and spices mixed well enough that you can pick them out, but it still stands its own, like, thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just obvious that they're... I'm spinning my wheels here. You get my point.
I do. I have a task for us to close out the episode. Let's give this album a genre name. I'm going to pitch Argentinian... New wave reggae fusion.
That's cool.
Okay, does anyone else have anything to add or to change? Argentinian new wave reggae fusion.
I want to put post in front of everything.
Post Argentinian.
Like, if you think of postmodern writing being like post, just it's weird.
Post-Argentinian.
It's Argentinian post reggae fusion reggae new wave rock.
Okay, wait. It's Argentinian post-punk new wave reggae fusion.
Okay.
Post-Argentinian post-punk.
And I'm like, I'm tired of saying all these words, so I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
So yeah, sounds good.
Okay. So this... well... Okay. Yeah. The
Can
album...
you say it again?
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna give us a nice little soundbite. Okay. The album Divididos por la Felicidad by Sumo is Argentinian post-punk new wave fusion.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Thank you very much for listening. This is another episode of Out of Phase. We will hopefully have more episodes as the summer drags on. Thank you, Ashley and Storm, for hanging out and talking about this insane album with me. It was a good time. Ashley, thanks for doing the research and you know, like, finding this weird shit. Tune in next time. Catch you later. I don't know if I have an outro that I ever do, so I'm just going to leave it here. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.